From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 20th day of August, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana. Well, the Pro Farmer Crop Scouts have completed day two of their tour, and yesterday they reported results. We'll hear from Illinois and Nebraska that it's drying out, and then Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City will tell us if those dry conditions will persist across much of the Midwest. It all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL Public Radio from the University of Illinois.
Hi, this is AM 580 Agricultural Director Dave Dickey. Join us this evening for another one of our free AM 580 Agricultural Outlook panels. We'll be at Maria Restaurant in Morris, Illinois, the meeting getting underway at 7 o'clock. Panelists for the meeting include Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing, Jerry Gulke of Strategic Marketing Services, and Roy Plody of Perfect Choice Investments. That's at Maria Restaurant in Morris, Illinois, this evening at 7. The meeting is free and no advance registration is required. We hope to see you there.
Here are the numbers as they settled in Chicago on a Wednesday afternoon. September futures for the soft red winter wheat pit at $8.74 3/4, 29.5 cents higher. December contract at $8.99 5, up 29.25. And the March futures at $9.24 1/4, 29.75 higher. September corn futures, $5.75 1/4, up 10.5 cents. December at $5.95, up 10.5. And the March at 6:14, up 10.25. May futures 6:26, up 10.75 for the day in the corn pit. From the soybean pit in Chicago, $12.93 3/4. The settlement price up 26.75 for the SEPs. November at $13 even. The beans there 24 higher. And January soybeans at $13.17 1/4, up 23.25. March futures at $13.30 5, 22 cents higher on the day. Bean meal futures settled the nearby at $3.52.90, up $7.10. September bean oil at $53.07, 69 higher. August live cattle, or rather October's at $1.05 even, 17.5 cents higher. The feeders August at $1.13.75, up 37.5. And the October lean hogs at $75.10, down 15 cents on the day. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here are the outside markets. Crude oil futures are now trading September at $115.50, 97 cents higher a barrel. October at $115.70, up $1.16. SEP ethanol at $2.27 8/10. That's 8 cents higher. The natural gas at $8.06 4/10, up 8 8/10. And the RBOB gasoline at $2.90 8/10, up 4 4/10. September heating oil, diesel fuel, $3.16 6/10, up 4 2/10 of a cent. And September propane futures are 2 cents higher at $1.59. Gold futures are trading the August at $8.10.30, down 80 cents. September there, 80 is low, 80 lower as well at $810.80. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 11,369. It's just about 20 points higher on the day. The U.S. dollar at 76.96 is up 0.2 on the afternoon. And the CRB index now stands at 390.97, that's up 2.46 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast from our own chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser, looks like. He says tonight in western and southern Illinois, it'll be mostly cloudy with a chance of a few scattered showers. Elsewhere, partly to mostly cloudy, lows will range from 52 in northeastern Indiana to 68 in southwestern Illinois. Tomorrow, Ed says, in Illinois and western Indiana, mostly cloudy skies, some scattered showers, a few isolated thunderstorms in eastern Indiana. Partly sunny, highs tomorrow will range from 80 in northwestern Illinois to 90 in the far southern parts of Indiana. The extended forecast says Tropical Storm Fay is moving very slowly northward along the east coast of Florida. Over the next few days, Fay will drift into northern Florida, southern Georgia, and southern Alabama, and perhaps eventually into the southern areas of the state of Mississippi. More on the weather with Drew Lerner later in the broadcast.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
It's a Wednesday afternoon, time to take a look at the agricultural futures markets. Joining us, as he does each and every Wednesday, is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
What's the most important factor in the marketplace at the moment? Is it the Pro Farmer Crop Tour, or is it the weather, combination of the two, outside markets?
I think it's about three things. The first one, I think, that helped stabilize yesterday's talk of wetter weather and bigger crops on the Pro Farmer Crop Tour was, you know, basically in Bloomington, Illinois, there was a lot of conversation about the situation. But it looks like, from my contacts and what I've read, is that it's likely to go, the ball game is going to go into overtime, both in the corn and soybean guessing game of yields. And I think it's based on that we need a good 1 to 2 inch rain through the heartland of the Corn Belt, and it doesn't look like it's going to materialize. The people that I talk to on the tour say it is very variable from field to field in corn, and it's also very variable with yield potential and extreme yield potential in soybeans. The other factor that I think that we need to talk about is Goldman Sachs is carefully talking about $149 a barrel crude oil by the end of the year. Buffett and Gates are touring the oil sands of Canada, and crude oil, after having some bearish inventory reports about the 9/35 time frame, dipped, and went higher today on the close. And that's also a indication that maybe energy and commodities are showing some stability in the topsy-turvy world of commodity trading.
Now, let's talk about some of those outside markets just a bit, because we talk about the dollar on occasion and the strength it has shown. Strength is a relative term, I suppose, when you consider the dollar was well over 100 at one point, and, well, I think up into the 150s, but trading now at 76. So what is strong in the dollar? Are we just in a rebound, and how does that impact the market?
A lot of people feel that we are looking at major resistance somewhere in the 78 to 80 cent level, and I wouldn't disagree with that. We have a tremendous problem with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. There's knowledgeable people that say the government's going to have to underwrite either through preferred stock or direct investments of $20 billion on each mortgage company, and that's a lot of money just to stabilize the housing industry, and underscores the major problems in that, financial Wall Street and also the mortgage industry on housing in the United States. I think the other major factor is that crude oil is still an important part of fueling our engine. It's going to be a tremendous topic in our political elections this fall. And, of course, it helps propel and stabilize corn prices in the Midwest as we convert a lot of corn into ethanol and soybeans into soy diesel. So it's an important commodity, particularly as these tour the Midwest and try to determine really what is going to be the potential without a meaningful rain in the next 10 days to 2 weeks.
No, weather aside, if we manage to finish the crop at the 155 USDA is predicted at this point on a national average, and I want to go back to the dollar just a bit because I was headed there for a reason. If crude oil manages to rally to 149, the dollar stays strong, does the price of corn go up too? Or
oh,
not?
I hope so. where we are really at that cost price squeeze, Todd. You know, one of the things that this meeting, like in Bloomington last night, the topic in the conversation was the high price of fertilizer. There's going to be more doctor and prescription type farming. In other words, we put on the fertilizer we need to get the yield we want. And so there is going to be more effort on the farmer's part to get the right prescription for the right field at the right time. Getting back to the corn potential, yes, that's the big part of the equation is the market with the present demand next year. We're going to need probably conservatively somewhere in that 4 to 5 million acres more corn planted and conservative somewhere in the 2 to 3 million more acres of soybeans. But we do look at this kind of puny soybean crop out there that is going to take a lot of sunshine, rainfall, and we're just not seeing it happen. And people are calling in quite concerned about what they find with this tremendous variability. Usually the bin buster yields, Todd, occur when there's uniformity and lots of pods and good heights and plenty of good moisture in the forecast in the last week, first week of August and last week of August as well.
One final question for you. With the transfer of risk from the grain elevator to the farmer on some of the sales, do you think with the high price of fertilizer that farmers strapped for cash because of this risk management they may need to do will cut back on fertilizer and potentially will raise less of a crop in the future because of that?
I tell you, when the top 10 farmers come into the Oakland commodity office, they all are very bullish on fertilizer and quality seed, and they've learned not to skip on either. And I'll tell you, I think that the farm economy is in great shape, and hopefully it will basically brush off any ideas of an economic slowdown in 2008 and 9.
Paul, thanks for your knowledge.
Have a profitable day, Todd.
You too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Joins us on the Closing Market Report on Wednesdays.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Up next, we'll hear reports from both the eastern and the western leg of the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. It's sponsored by John Deere Risk Protection and Pioneer Hybrid Seeds. Agronomically speaking, the eastern leg of the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour has been fairly boring with very little disease or pest pressure to report, according to the Crop Scouts. Be that as it may, Pioneer Hybrid area agronomist Will Smart told Crop Scouts in Bloomington, Illinois last night that their concerns about early season wetness and late season dryness are very well founded.
The early corn crop looks pretty good. It certainly doesn't look as well as it did last year. Last year we had fields averaging 225, 230. I think a lot of fields that have been in good growing conditions in this area have the potential to hit 200, but they're certainly off last year. What's hard to quantify is the wet hole impact, and that's the unknown.
Smart notes, one of the unknowns early on was when many farmers were actually going to get a crop in the ground.
Jump to the later planted corn in the southern end of McLean County. We had maybe 40 to 50% of our corn planted in June, as late as June 18th. That's the crop that's at risk. That's the crop we're talking about that has the common rust really advancing above the leaves, and even though it's been sprayed with the fungicide, the inoculant pressure that's there will continue to advance.
And while there are still some opportunities for soybeans, Smart says the opportunity for corn yield may have already set sail.
We planted up to three times this spring, and now if you look at the crop, we're cracked, we're firing our leaves, and we probably cut our root system off in the spring because we planted on such wet ground. And now the boot will be dry at the end. So it'll definitely stress the stalks as we go into this fall.
So Smart says there is very limited expectation for upside potential in this crop and a great deal of concern about the downside risk.
I certainly think we have the opportunity to pull back on the yields. And I would say in a lot of cases, I'll be surprised in the last 3 weeks how much girth we can gain if we get good conditions. The forecast isn't real optimistic at this point, but we'll see where that goes.
Will Smart works with Pioneer customers in the state of Illinois. He was on the eastern leg of the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. The western leg of the tour made its way through Nebraska yesterday, and Chip Flory there found a crop that was way behind in maturity, And that's been repeated often, of course, during this year's tour. Flory is the editor and publisher of Pro Farmer's Newsletter, and he's leading that western leg of the tour and had these observations about the crop tour in Nebraska.
The theme that was repeated time after time on Nebraska from all the routes that we ran, we pulled 170-some corn samples in 2 days in Nebraska, and everybody was disappointed with the yield potential on that irrigated corn crop. Reason being, I think after they got that crop planted, it was the crop that they were going to plant first. It's the crop that they paid most attention to early in the season. They wanted to stick as close to the time schedule as they possibly could, so they may have put it in a little bit of rough conditions, but after getting it in the ground, it got wet. It got really wet. It brought on some seedling diseases. It brought on some germination issues. And we've just got a lower stand count out there in that irrigated corn. And as a result of that, I think that's why everybody's a little disappointed on it.
Conversely, Flory says crop scouts on the western leg of the crop tour were impressed with the dryland corn in that state.
And when you think about it, the conditions that were tough on that irrigated ground were really pretty good for the dryland crop. Dryland populations are good, and the yield potential out there on that dryland corn is really good.
Lori says it's not unusual to go through Nebraska and see a dryland yield in the 80 to 90 bushel range.
This year when we finished up, we had a lot of dryland samples in that 130 to 140 bushel range, so some really good dryland corn that's offsetting some of the problems that we saw on the irrigated corn.
But Chip Lori says a killing frost prior to October 1st would definitely take bushels off the crop.
No doubt about it, because we saw some pretty immature crop in the northeast part of the state, anything north of the Platte River, and I would just assume that we don't get an October 1 frost on that crop north of the Platte River, and if we do, we're going to be taking some bushels off the Nebraska crop. Give me to October 10, and I'm going to feel a whole lot better about it and feel pretty good about the yield potential out here.
Pro Farmer's soil moisture ratings in soybean fields in Nebraska, according to Flory, are 18% lower than a year ago.
This year, it's dry. This bean crop needs a rain. If it's going to finish with the potential to get to 50 bushels per acre, which I think is out there right now, but by golly, it needs rain if we're going to get there. If we don't get rain here within the next 10 days, we're going to start to anticipate a lower bean crop under 50 bushels per acre in Nebraska.
Chip Flory leading the western leg of the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. It's sponsored by John Deere Risk Protection and Pioneer Hybrid Seeds. The scouts on the western leg are making their way through Iowa today. The eastern leg scouts are in Illinois. Chip Flory will be our guest this weekend on Commodity Week. We record that program at 4:30 p.m. Central Time Friday afternoon and post it to our website after 6 o'clock that evening. That's at willag.org, willag.org. Two other things of note to bring you up to date on. Don't forget about Agronomy Day. That's tomorrow, kicks off at 7. More on Agronomy Day in a moment. The other thing is that Farm Progress Show is in Boone, Iowa next week on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We'll broadcast the closing market report live from the Iowa State Extension tent, and we'll have ag panels in the AgriGold tent 4 times for the first and second day of the show, and 3 times on the third day of the show. That's Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of next week. Drop by and see Dave Dickey and I either at the Iowa State Extension tent or at the AgriGold tent on the Farm Progress Show site in Boone, Iowa.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
The theme for this year's Agronomy Day is Energizing Agriculture. Agronomy Day provides the U of I faculty with the chance to discuss their latest research findings with clientele from Illinois and neighboring states. And this year, the major focus will be the future of bioenergy in agriculture. Besides tours and tent displays highlighting the latest developments in agricultural research, the program, which begins at 7 o'clock a.m. in the morning on the 21st of August, will include a special presentation during the noon hour featuring Seth Snyder. He's from the Energy Systems Division at the Argonne National Laboratory. He'll discuss biomass systems and utilization and what it all means to Illinois farms in the region. USDA Undersecretary Gail Buchanan will take up a similar topic from the stage, too. The 52nd consecutive Agronomy Day is a partnership, of course, among several academic units in the U of I's College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences, otherwise known as ACES. One of the tours will include stops on corn nematodes, maximizing returns on fertilizer investments, resistance genes to fighting soybean diseases and pests, and pushing soybean yields. A second tour will focus on ethylene and managing wheat scab. A third will have residual herbicides and water hemp and lectures on managing giant ragweed in corn. And the final tour will take up corn stover and biofuel cropping systems on how that affects soils, biomass feedstock production, and alternative markets for bioenergy crops. Agronomy Day at the U of I starts at 7 a.m. on the South Farms. Our long wagon tours around the research plots will repeat every half hour until the noon hour, or as groups are available. Lunch will be available, too. That's for a nominal fee. Otherwise, Agronomy Day is free. Agronomy Day is on the U of I South Farms, just off St. Mary's Road, to the east of the Assembly Hall. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Hi, this is AM 580 Agricultural Director Dave Dickey. Join us this evening for another one of our free AM 580 Agricultural Outlook panels. We'll be at Maria Restaurant in Morris, Illinois, the meeting getting underway at 7 o'clock. Panelists for the meeting include Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing, Jerry Gulke of Strategic Marketing Services, and Roy Plody of Perfect Choice Investments. That's at Maria Restaurant in Morris, Illinois, this evening at 7. The meeting is free and no advance registration is required. We hope to see you there.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on a Wednesday afternoon. It's time to take a look at the cash grain market. And the folks up at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana, are on hand. Matt Blaisdell should be on the line with us. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon. How are we doing?
We're doing very well. Why don't you tell me a little bit about the cash grain basis in your area at the moment?
Corn continues to firm up as the feeders kind of get their needs met, and then it seems like the commercials are cleaning out what little beans they have left as beans start to kind of fade a little bit here. Also, a lot of the three big Indiana processors are taking some downtime at the end of this month to the 1st of September before we get into bean harvest, you know, at the end of September. So beans fading a little bit, but corn is perking up as the rail values have gone up 3 or 4 cents this week.
Farmers think the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour is right?
There's a lot of questions in that tour, just because also of some of the errors are going. Like in Ohio example, they neglected to go to 4 of the top 5 producing counties in the state, and just some questions of, you know, is that really what you know, what we have out there?
Okay, and do you have your bids by chance for the day?
Yeah, Climbers corn 550, Delphi corn 548, and Delphi beans, $12.89.
Okay, we appreciate a lot that you came out of that meeting today to talk to us.
No problem, thank you.
Thank you. Matt Blaisdell is with the Andersons. He's at their Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. They're located there with an ethanol plant. Joined us on Wednesday afternoons to take up the cash basis and the cash grain markets in Indiana. In 2 minutes, we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. He'll help us take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast and some potential rainfall for the Midwest.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. A state commission weighing Governor Ral Blagojevich's plan to close the Pontiac Correctional Center is preparing to hear public opinion. The hearing in Pontiac is expected to attract hundreds of people tonight. The prison would close early next year, and its 1,600 inmates would move to a largely unused prison in northwest Illinois in Thompson. The governor says the move will save $4 million a year, but the mayor of Pontiac, Scott McCoy, believes some of the testimony from the hearing will disprove that. He says the plan would rob Pontiac of its second largest employer, and McCoy says he believes the move has more to do with politics than economics. Blagojevich spokesman Brian Williamson says the plan is strictly about saving money. The Chicago Urban League is challenging Illinois' school funding system. The group filed a civil rights lawsuit today against the state and the Illinois State Board of Education. It claims funding schools based on property tax revenue is unconstitutional. The league's president, Cheryl Jackson, says minority children aren't getting quality education. Prosecutors have asked a jury to question why a Champaign County man waited several months to report that his estranged wife committed suicide. Robert Arnett is accused of killing Naomi Arnett. Mr. Arnett admits burying her body in a shallow grave near Sadorus last spring, and she had been reported as missing. It took searchers 4 months to find the body. Robert Arnett contends Mrs. Arnett had killed herself. Testimony in the trial began this morning. An attorney for a Champaign man suing the Belleville Diocese and one of its former priests says the diocese for decades concealed evidence of sexual abuse by priests. Testimony began yesterday in Belleville on James Wisniewski's claims that the Reverend Raymond Kaunacki abused him in the 1970s when Wisniewski was an altar boy. Traffic will probably be hairy tomorrow around the University of Illinois campus during a rare weekday move-in day for new students. U of I officials expect thousands of freshmen and their families, although they've been assigned specific routes to get to their dorms. Housing officials say U of I employees should look for alternative means of getting to campus tomorrow. I'm Tom Rogers.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason, joined this afternoon to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast by the senior meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. His name is Drew Lerner. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the weather here in the Midwest. I know I was out last night. Some farmers are thinking it's getting pretty dry.
Yeah, it is getting pretty dry, and we've got a little hope left in Tropical Storm Fay, actually. It looks like that storm system will be somewhere over the Alabama-Mississippi area, perhaps by the end of the weekend. I know it's a long ways out. It seems kind of funny it's going to take that long to get there when it's only in Florida now. But the storm is, on the latest forecast model runs, has suggested to go ahead and turn to the northeast from that Mississippi-Alabama area and possibly bring some moderate rains into parts of Kentucky and Ohio, which are two very dry states in the eastern Corn Belt. They certainly would benefit tremendously from some rain from this event, as long as it wasn't excessive. And that's what's being advertised here on the midday model runs. Now, there's a pretty good chance that the storm will still change in its path here, since we're talking about it, an event that's still going to occur during the first half of next week. That's too far out for us to have a high degree of confidence, so we'll still have to watch this closely. There's many areas in the Midwest that are actually trending a little bit drier right now. It's not just Kentucky and Ohio. We have it going on in many other areas, parts of Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, easternmost sections of Nebraska, western Iowa, maybe northwestern Missouri. All of these areas have shown some mild stress here recently, and some areas probably a little bit more than just mild. But we are in need of rain across the region. We will see some scattered showers and thunderstorms over the coming week, over and above that of Tropical Cyclone Fay. And so the bottom line is that we're probably going to continue eking by here with a need for greater rain, but probably not pushing these crops into a very serious state of stress. I say that knowing full well that the second week of the midday model run today suggested that high pressure would build up across the Midwest, first in the eastern areas behind the remnants of Tropical Storm Fay, and then in the western Corn Belt as we go into the early days of September. There's a fairly good chance that this scenario may pan out, and so we'll need to watch it real closely because we're not going to get a lot of rain between now and when that ridge develops. And so this stress level that we've got out there may actually increase on us as time moves on.
And this is an important grain field time. We really do need the rainfall. The crop is just a bit behind schedule, even so today. And we're in the dough stage across much of the Midwest. Kind of need more rainfall maybe than we're going to get in the next few days. Is that right?
I think that's true for some areas, and again, I think the key is going to be what happens to the remnants of Fay. If we can get Fay to bring some moderate to heavy rains into eastern portions of the Midwest, those areas will at least be relieved of the drier scenario. But I am concerned about some of these other pockets in the western and northern parts of the Midwest, and I think you're right. We're probably not going to see a great enough quantity in the rainfall that occurs over this first week of the two-week outlook, and if, and that's a big if, we get underneath the high pressure ridge in that first week in September, it will add more stress because we won't get any good follow-up rain, and we'll probably see temperatures a little bit warmer than normal. So the two will combine to add a little more reason for us to be concerned about the bottom line for some of these crops.
Drew, we appreciate you being with us today, and we'll talk with you again in a week.
You bet. Have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is the senior meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated. Joined us here on the Closing Mark Report on a Thursday afternoon. You have a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.